As Amy mentioned, we're going to look at a parable of Jesus this morning called Growing Seed. It is one of the shortest parables Jesus told, and it highlights an important part of life in God's kingdom. And in many ways, it centers on this thing that we term a virtue, patience. Patience. How's your patience these days? How you doing with that? If you say you're doing really good, I say that's wonderful. Leave the house sometimes. Test it out. My patience or lack thereof came into full focus last weekend. Sarah Gray and I attended the Global Leadership Summit. We spent 2 days in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and then as part of her birthday celebration, we were moving downtown Chicago. And didn't need a car for downtown, needed one for the suburbs. So my grand plan was this. We were going to drop the car at Midway Airport and then take a lift into, well, I was going to take the L. Sarah Gray vetoed that, and we took a lift into downtown Chicago. I have these apps on my phone, which I find invaluable. Sarah Gray calls obsessive compulsive. But one of the things I do is if I know we're going to be having to go from point A to point B, I will look early in the day at how long Maps tells me it's going to take me to go from where I am to where I need to be. 10 o'clock that morning, it said to go from South Barrington, Illinois to Midway Airport was an hour and 13 minutes. I thought, that's not bad. Took us longer to get here. Not bad at all. Conference ends, we get in the car. I pull it up. Hour and 40 minutes. Well, this isn't good. So we take off. That's a bit of a misnomer. We went about 10 feet at a time for a long way. 2 hours later, we make it to Midway Airport. Sarah Gray tells me my patience was not doing very well. Might just be me, but I think if I have a car with an accelerator and gas, I should go. And everybody else should go too. If you want to test your patience, go to a big city during rush hour and drive. It always amuses me when we have people in town, they're usually from California, and they say, "What's traffic like around here?" And I say, well, we don't have a rush hour, we have a rush moment. And they have trouble wrapping their minds around that. If you really want to test your patience, book an airline flight. Because that'll do it just as well as being in traffic if you can't find any of that. But Jesus, I believe, speaks directly to what patience has to do with the kingdom of God in Mark 4, when he tells the parable of the growing seed. And Jesus tells in Mark's gospel parables that of the sower, of the harvest. He's in a series of parables speaking directly to the people of that time who had a much better grasp of what it meant to depend on the earth for your not only your food, but your livelihood than we do maybe today. Before we look at Mark 4, would you join me as we pray? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that it truly is a seed that is planted within our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and by your Holy Spirit, it begins to take root and to grow. May your word this morning take root in us. And my prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark 4, beginning at verse 26, Jesus' words. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Seed is scattered, falls to the earth, it's covered over with our advancements in technology. We now understand what a farmer in that day maybe didn't understand, the process that that seed goes through. But understanding the process, it's still a bit of a mystery, isn't it? One reason I'm not a good gardener is if I plant a seed, a couple of days later, I'm going to be out there looking, because I want to see something, right? And I got this urge on like the fourth day, well, let me dig down there and see what's going on, right? And that the seed's never going to grow that way if you keep disturbing it, if you keep messing with it. But if we do, like the sower in this parable, and scatter the seed and then go about our business, God has a plan for seeds. God has a plan from seed to harvest. But it is in many ways antithetical to the way our lives are lived today, right? We're instantaneous, a microwave. We don't want traffic jams. If it says it's an hour and 13 minutes, it should be an hour and 13 minutes. We're not good with patience and waiting. Now, I think one of the reasons we're not good with patience and waiting is, in addition to having a lack of patience, we have an over-dependence on control, don't we? Because we want it on our terms, on our timeline, and we think we got the best plan for that. Jesus makes it clear in this parable, God's timing is not necessarily our timing. And in God's kingdom, a seed is planted. We planted a seed this morning for Francis. Some of you, many of you, teach children's Sunday school. If you'd like to, Hannah would like to talk to you right over here after the service. She's waving. Yeah, there she is. And if you've taught children's Sunday school before, maybe you drove home going, what did I do for that hour? Did I do anything other than tell a story, interact with the children, and is that it? Might just be that you planted a seed. It might just be that that seed one day will come to be a life redeemed by Jesus. That seed you planted in God's grace and God's care will change somebody's eternal destiny. Same thing if you work with youth. Same thing if you lead worship, teach a Sunday school class, or preach a sermon. Our job is not instant results. Even this morning, if I had planned the sermon to culminate in an altar call, that's not necessarily the kernel popping forth, it's the seed growing. And for American Christians today living in Western society, that's tough. Because we expect instant results. We live in a world that businesses are managed quarter to quarter for earning reports. Jobs are on the line. That's the reality of the culture and the world that we live in, yet God's kingdom operates on another time frame. Maybe you've seen this in your life, in your family's life, in your children's life. I have had many conversations in this room before weddings and before funerals, where families tend to gather. And I've been in here with two sons and a mother as we were planning a funeral, and they talked about where they used to sit when these sons who were in their 50s were children. And they talked about, hey, Mom, you remember the time you jerked us both out of here and we stood on the street and you yelled at us for 5 minutes? She said, yep. As parents, sometimes you wonder, is it going to take? But that mother was faithful. The seeds were planted. People poured into her children by living out Jesus within these walls and within this community, and she faithfully prayed. And a seed grew, and lives had their eternal destiny changed. I believe that's more than just the word of God. Clearly, Jesus is talking about God's word in this parable, but I think it applies broadly to the kingdom of God. It applies to our life as followers of Jesus. To let go of control, to embrace patience, and to trust God fully. With our lives, with the lives of our children, with the lives of the ones we love, because God is God. And if we proclaim, as we've done throughout this service in confession, in a call to worship, in an Apostles' Creed being spoken, that we trust God. We believe He truly is God, the one who made us, who made our world, who has this world in the palm of His hand, and who will see this world come to full fruition as His kingdom. But so often as believers, I believe we dig up those seeds sometimes just to see if anything's happening. When what we're called as people of God's kingdom to do is to be patient and to trust and to pray and to be faithful in how we live our lives. Not just within these walls, but how we live our lives at home, around the dinner table, at school as we teach children, or as we go to class, in the doctor's offices, in the law offices, in the banks, in the lines at the grocery store or at Costco. We're called to be faithful and to be an ambassador for Jesus, because we never know what encounter might God use to nurture those seeds that are planted. There's a wonderful resource on the parables. It was written by Arland Hultgren. Hultgren says this, particularly about this parable of the growing seed. He says, neither Christians nor anyone else can build the kingdom. At best, persons can align themselves with the future of God as they see it, but knowing that they must not confuse their convictions with the absolute will of God. That kind of convicted me a little bit. Because I realized I got some convictions about God. But as I prepare a sermon on the parables particularly, there's a lot of people who have commented on the parables. And they're all over the place. All over the place. And everyone had the conviction when they put pen to paper or finger to keys that they had it right. That they had it right. And when I read that sentence from Hultgren, it made me think of having such absolute convictions theologically that I'm right, that sometimes I dig up seeds because I think something must have gone wrong. Because part of living with patience and part of giving up control and trusting God is also being humble, because you can't give up control, I believe, unless you embrace humbleness. James, in his epistle, writes this: "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." The rains have to come. God's got to nurture that seed in His time and on His plan. But God will, because God is faithful. Do you believe that? And if you do, does your life reflect it? Because in many ways, that's where our faith becomes real and our faith becomes action. We think of action as, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to make it from South Barrington to Midway Airport in an hour and 13 minutes, because that's what the app said it was 6 hours ago. And maybe it took as long as it did because God needed Sarah Gray to remind me, I got a patience problem. Maybe fertilizer, maybe insecticide, but something God used to nurture that seed in me. It also works for our life together. I don't know if you know this or not, but collectively, as brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ here at the corner of 3rd and Cherry in Winston-Salem, it's not a terribly patient group. Not saying they're, I'm with you. But maybe God is doing something in God's time for God's purposes with us right now. And we're going to have to strap on some patience. Next week, we're doing a groundbreaking celebration. And guess what? That means the way we normally come in buildings is going to have to change. The way we do life on campus will be disrupted for a little while. It's going to take some patience. But you know what? I'm convinced, since this project began to be talked about and prayed about and considered 2 years ago, I have seen God at work. And this is something God's doing to grow us. To grow us. We're going to begin a series of sermons for the early fall on making room for people who are far from Jesus to come and be able to experience what community in the midst of Jesus' followers is really like. For us to do that, it's going to take some patience. Because the people who hopefully God will draw here as we make room might not believe what we believe. Their lifestyle, their way of doing things might go against some of our absolute convictions. But it gives us an opportunity to live before them what we know to be a lifestyle of a follower of Jesus. Our PNC is hard at work. I haven't asked them, but I bet they've heard a little bit of impatience. But it just might be that God's doing a good work there. And the seed is growing. And one day it will burst forth. And the kernel of fruit will be harvested. How are you with your patience? I believe it is vital to our yielding ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might be molded into the image of Jesus. As I read the Gospels, I'm blown away at the patience of Jesus. God plants the seed. God has a plan for that seed, and he will nurture it. He will give it what it needs to grow and to sprout and to produce good fruit. He calls us as followers of Jesus to patiently live into the kingdom of God, to release our never-ending desire for control, and to humbly embrace the call of Jesus, who said, "Come and follow me, and you will know eternal life." May we be people who answer that call in this day, in this time, in our country, in our city, and within the walls of this church, our church. And God will be faithful. Thanks be to God. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for the seeds that you not only plant, but that you nurture to fruition. We confess, Father, that patience is often one of the virtues which eludes us. May by the power of your Holy Spirit, you give us patience to live into your kingdom, humbleness in our absolute convictions, and certainty that you indeed are a trustworthy God who will lead us to your best for us individually and as a church. And we give you thanks for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.